It's time now for the Pulpit Hour, featuring some of God's choice preachers. Stay tuned at the end of today's message for information on how you can obtain a copy of today's sermon.
In Acts chapter 9, the Bible records the salvation experience of one of the greatest New Testament Christians that we're to meet on the pages of the Scriptures. His name's Paul the Apostle, formerly Saul of Tarsus. We preached on last night about the sin of Saul and how God dealt with his sin and how the Lord saved him by his amazing grace. Now, in Saul's experience of salvation, he came a long way in just a few moments. And I want to look tonight down in verse 5, where Saul of Tarsus said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Tonight, I want to preach on the subject, the submission of Paul. The submission of Paul. This dear man, as he came down the road to Damascus, was on his way to destroy the church of the living God. He was after the head of dear Ananias, the preacher brother that resided in that town. He was after the head of all the Christians that dwelled in Damascus. But before he entered the city limit signs, the Lord Jesus set up a roadblock on his journey to destroy the people of God and the things of God. And as a result, God dealt with him and shined his light about his heart. And he fell upon the ground and he made his confession as Jesus Christ being his Lord and his Savior. And the Lord saved this man on the road to Damascus. I had a road to Damascus experience, except mine was a Hendersonville fairground experience. Oh, it wasn't the J.C.'s that brought this one to town. It was the Holy Ghost that brought an old gospel tent to town, sent the Sexton brothers over to declare, "Repent or perish, turn or burn. It's heaven or hell. It's Jesus or the devil. It's God of the world." And they preached their gun barrel straight. Holy Ghost shined that light about my heart as God shined the light about the heart of Saul of Tarsus. As he cried out, "God," and he cried out, "Jesus, you're my Lord now." So I cried the same. Now, in the process of Saul of Tarsus being saved, he immediately begins to submit to the Lord. Now, I don't want to get in an axe-grinding competition around here, but I want to tell you, you cannot cut the Lordship of Christ out of his salvation. To say Jesus is my hell escape, and you're not going to run my life, and you're not going to rule my life, and you're not going to tell me what to do, Jesus, but you can be my hell escape, friend, you'll die and burn in hell. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Friend, repentance involved Jesus becoming your Lord and changing your life. Now, if we see an illustration of conversion, it is in the life of Saul of Tarsus. And I believe if a man gets saved by the grace of God, he's going to begin to submit his life to God in many areas. Amen? Now, when I'm talking about submission, I'm not talking about highway patrol submission. Amen? We got a law enforcement officer here tonight. And all you folk know how it is to be going down the road a little late for a meeting, and you gooch it just a little bit more than you ought to, and you come across the hill, and here sets the highway patrol, got his radar shooting across the lane, you know, and you go by him at 55 and wave at him, "Good job, buddy." Go on down the hill around the curve, and first time, you know, pick that speed back up. Well, that's eye service submission. Long as he's sitting around, got the radar on you, and there's the threat of judgment, and there's the threat of you being brought before the magistrate and the judge down here in Brevard, you'll keep her slow. But as long as he's not watching real close, you'll get on down the road. Now, there's a lot of folk in our churches that have got eye service. As long as the preacher's sitting around, with his radar, the Word of God, ready to call them down. Oh, they can drive the speed limit and pat the preacher on the back and say, oh, my, what a good job you're doing, preacher. God bless your little old heart. But boy, just as soon as they get in the parking lot, he begins to gouge his wife and she begins to gouge him, say, I don't like what he preached today. I think you're just swinging that at us. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to go where I want to go. And who's he to tell us what we're supposed to do? Amen. But I'm not talking about eye service, submission. A lot of young people are submissive as long as they're around mom and daddy. Well, as long as they're around mom and daddy, they're the best angels in the world. But boy, you let them get out of sight of mom and daddy, and they're just a couple of little hellcats, amen, doing what they want to do and raising sin. Long as mom and daddy don't find out about it, they think they're doing all right. But friend, the submission that Paul had was not an eye service submission, but it was a wholehearted lock, stock, and barrel, whether anybody knows it or not, drown, sink, or swim, come what may, God, here's my life. I want you to take me and use me for your glory. We've got too much of this backyard barbecue, Easter time, Christmas time, homecoming time, special singing time type Christianity in these days. We need some folk that'll be faithful down at the job, faithful down at the farm, faithful there at the house, faithful wherever they're at to the things of God. And that's what I want to preach on tonight, is submission. Now notice, first of all, Saul was submitted. He was submitted in three areas, and Lord willing, we'll try to get to these three. I say Lord willing because I don't know where we'll wind up at. We'll just wind up and hope we end up where the Lord wants us to. Amen? First of all, he was submitted to the Lordship of Christ. Now, when he was on the road to Damascus and God struck him to the ground and he fell to the earth and he heard the voice, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. And in verse 6, he says, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And from that moment on, the Apostle Paul was submitted to the Lordship of Christ. Now, I believe when a person's saved, they have to bow to his Saviorship and his Lordship. Now, when I got saved, as far as I knew, Jesus was Lord of my life. But as I began to sit under the Word of God, and God began to pull the covers back, and began to unroll what was right and what was wrong, and began to straighten out my warped, depraved mind, I found there were many areas that I didn't even know were wrong in my life that were wrong, and God's been pointing out things in my heart and in my life, and becoming more of my Lord day by day since the time I was saved by the grace of God. There's nobody in here, my friend, who was mastered completely the moment you were saved. This thing of Jesus mastering you and me and lording over us is a continual process. There is repentance not to be repented of. But I want to say the believer's life is continual repentance, daily repentance. Now, some folks say, well, I came to an altar. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, that must be it. Hallelujah. Well, friend, I want to say, just as Israel entered in Canaan at Gilgal, and they were circumcised and marked, they were in Canaan land. But there was a whole lot of territory for them to conquer in the land of Canaan. And friend, just because you're saved by the grace of God and you're in the kingdom of God does not mean that you've arrived where God wants you to be. He still wants to be Lord over our lives. Amen? Now this question of Lordship, and notice there are two question marks around the phrase Lord in the life of Saul of Tarsus. First of all, he says, who art thou, Lord? And then in verse 6, he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? I want to notice, first of all, in his lordship, there is a question of revelation. As Saul of Tarsus was laying there in the dust, rooting around like an old hog in the lower end of the pen, crying, oh, God, from the depths of his soul, he begins to say, who art thou, Lord? If I'm going to submit to you, I need to know who you are. Now, I don't care where you've been raised or whose kid you are. When we come to God, we all come to God ignorant of who He is. We have a very little spiritual comprehension of who He is. But mark it down. That begins and opens the door of knowledge, of understanding of who our God is. And when you bow before Him as Jesus, your Lord and Savior, we ask the question from henceforth, who art thou, Lord? And guess what Jesus does? He begins to reveal Himself to that seeking soul on the road to Damascus. And if we really want to know who God is, He'll reveal Himself to us and give us understanding. Who art thou, Lord? He says, I am. We all know the term I am belongs to Jehovah God. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses had the same question. Who am I going to say sent me? And when they say, where'd you get your commission from? What am I going to say? He said, you tell them that I am has sent me unto you. And Saul of Tarsus was answered in his question of who art thou, Lord? Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Who art thou, Lord? He's the I am that I am. He's the everlasting God, God of very God, co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal in all of His glory, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, perfect in unison, perfect in power, perfect in love, perfect in Trinity, not three gods but one God, the everlasting Lord of glory, who was before everything, before there was a star, before there was a blazing sun, before there was a glimmering moon, before there was ever a dust ball called planet Earth, there was God. When there was nothing past, there was God. God filling everywhere up with the radiance of the power, of the majesty, of the glory of His presence. God, co-equal, co-existent, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in need of nothing, in need of nobody, absolutely 100% complete and perfect in all of His holy glory, His radiant splendor, and His royal might. But this great God, who art thou? One day this great God in the eons of eternity and days past said, let us create man, and man's gonna fall, but I'll be a redeemer, Jesus said, before man ever came. God already had a redeemer in His Son. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that stepped out on the edge of nothing, sprinkled the stars into their sockets. My friend stretched the heavens as a woman would pull a curtain down over the window, and His hand spreads abroad this great vast universe. They tell us it's billions and billions of light years away, and yet Isaiah 40 says that God spans the universe with His hand. Amen. Who art thou, Lord? He said it and it was. He spoke it and it existed. He declared it and it came to be. Who art thou, Lord? He's the Creator that created the heavens and the earth. And in the beginning, God created before there was an infidel. In the beginning, God, before there was an agnostic. In the beginning, God, before Madeline O'Hara. In the beginning, God, before the ACLU. In the beginning, God, before Walter Crank Case in the news media. In the beginning, God, before the liberals and the God deniers and the Bible rippers. In the beginning, God created by the power of His radiant glory. He made everything that we see and everything that we can't see by the divine word of His power. Who art thou, Lord? He's the Creator that said, let the Spirit of God move on the face of the earth. And He moved on the face of the earth. And God said, let there be light. And out of darkness, the light of God began to shine. He's the God, my friend, that created the sea and all the fishes, every color, every shape, every form, those down in the depths of the sea that man's never seen. God created the fishes. He created the fowls of the air, the birds, the hummingbirds, the robins. He created the blue jays and the buzzards. He created the ravens and the eagles. Praise God, he created all the fowls of the air. And when you wake up in the morning and you hear that little sparrow singing his song, God's saying, I created him just to sing your little song of my praise and glory. And it's going to be amazing when we get to heaven and God lays the interpretation of what those birds were singing on us. Amen. In the beginning, God, he tacked down the soil with the grass and the trees and the ferns and all of the beautiful plants. He dotted the globe with beautiful flowers. My friend, he fixed up all the greenery and all the brilliance in the plant world that we see. In the beginning, God, this great God, stooped down one day and reached down into the dust, the red dust of the earth, and he formed a man. He created a creature, my friend, that's fearfully and wonderfully made. He created his heart. He created his circulatory system. He created his nervous system. He created all of the motor nerves. He created all the bone work. He created the kidneys and all of the organs. He created that gray matter between your ears called the brain, and he made it a sophisticated computer. So sophisticated, there's no computer on the face of the earth that can match up with a human brain. We use very little of the gray cells God gave us. God put him two eyes in the socket so he'd be able to see and enjoy and behold the beauty of his creation. God gave him the breath of life in his nostrils. Who art thou, Lord? He's the God that breathes out but never has to breathe in. Hallelujah. Amen. You and I, we have to breathe in every time we breathe out. But God breathed out the breath of life into the nostrils of our glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hey, that sounds a whole lot better to me than in the beginning, Big Bang. Amen. Animals to come by him in file. And Adam gave all the animals their scientific name, and he gave them the name that we know them by now. And as they came by, Adam began to dress and keep the garden. And who art thou, Lord? He's the one that laid old Adam down to a deep sleep one day and reached into his side and took a rib. And from that rib inside of Adam, God created a bride for Adam. And he brought Eve back a 100% complete, beautiful bride. And Adam called her woman. And woman was to be the helpmeet of man. And they were living happily in the Garden of Eden. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that came down in the cool of the day and walked with Adam and fellowship with Adam and Eve and communed with Adam and Eve. And my, what a radiant, glorious time of worship that must have been. Like right now in the cool of the evening, just sit down and commune in fellowship with God. Woo! What a day, what a day, what a day that was in paradise. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that took Lucifer, the shining one, the rebellious cherubim who rebelled against God and cast him down on the earth. Who art thou, Lord? He was the one in heaven knowing all the time that the serpent came and the devil inhabited the serpent and began to deceive Eve, and Eve would deceive. Then Adam was deceived. Well, Adam wasn't deceived. He went into the transgression willfully. He knew what was going on. And as they ran to the bushes and began to strip the fig leaf aprons off because they lost the glow of holiness and righteousness in the garden, there they were, trembling, afraid, because they had sinned against God and they were naked. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that took another step of grace. Adam had sinned. Eve had sinned. The wages of sin is death. But God had something behind his back. Amen. When he approached Adam and brought him face to face with his sins. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that slew the two animals. and he robed Adam and Eve in that robe of the blood animal sacrifice, looking forward to the day when his darling son would come and die on an old Roman cross and redeem man who he had created, who had fallen into sin. And my friend, God gave the promise that one day his son would come and redeem fallen, rebellious man back unto himself. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that got fed up with the earth when it turned away from him and said, Noah, build me an ark. Noah and his family entered into the ark after 120 years of preaching. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one who meant what he said and said what he meant. Sent the flood waters of judgment upon this earth, and everybody outside the way of God's salvation died and went to a devil's hell in that hour. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one, my friend, after the flood, when man began to rebel again and build his own tower to heaven. He's the God that called out a man by the name of Abraham from the Ur of Chaldees, and he would deliver a people and cause a seed to come through Abraham where he would raise a nation up, and that nation would be in charge of the oracles, the scriptures, the word of God. And my friend, through the tribe of Judah, he would send his Redeemer. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one, my friend, on one glorious morning said to old Joseph, fear not to take Mary to be thy wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Son, she hadn't committed fornication or adultery. Amen. I'm going to get in the womb of a virgin and take myself a body, and I'll walk up and down the seashores of Galilee and among sinful men for 33 and a half years, and friend, without mar, without blemish, without scar, without any sin or any taint whatsoever, the Son of God came. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one, my friend, after 30 years of private obedience to his father, began to perform miracles in Cana of Galilee, turned the water into wine, healed the blinded eyes, raised the dead, caused the lame to walk, caused the dumb to speak, caused the deaf to hear. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that stepped out on old Galilee and said, peace be still, and she laid down and licked his feet and became smooth as glass. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that stood outside old Lazarus tomb and said, come forth, Lazarus. Oh, Lazarus, though he was bound, came a hopping up that winding staircase, and they loosed him and let him go. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one who, by many infallible proofs, proved himself to be God the Son. Hallelujah. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that bowed in the Garden of Gethsemane and began to pray, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And he prayed till his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood, as the pressurization of our sins began to fall upon his back, and as the dark shadow of the cross began to overcover the Lord Jesus. My friend, he began to cry, not my will, Father, but thine be done. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that stood there as Simon Peter jerked his sword out and cut the high priest's ear off. He was aiming for his head, but he got his ear. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one reached down, picked that ear up, and put it back on the high priest's servant's head and healed him whole as could be. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one when they said, we're seeking Jesus. Jesus said, I am he. And they cut a flip backwards. They all rolled backwards to prove he did not have to go with that marauding band down to Caiaphas' hall and be put on trial. But who art thou, Lord? He's the one that said, here am I. Take me and let these go free. Oh, that's the story of the gospel. Take me that these might go free. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that walked down in front of the high priest and was spit on and smote on the jaw and called a blasphemer. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that stood before Pontius Pilate, and Pilate said seven times, I find no fault in him. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that was arrayed before Herod, and Herod examined him, and my friend, he found no fault in in him. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one who Pilate turned over to the raging mob and said, you can have one of two men. You can have Barabbas, the guilty sinner of insurrection, or you can have Jesus. The crowd cried, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that stood looking over Jerusalem, weeping with thorns driven in his brow, with his back lacerated with the cat of nine tails, with his flesh riven with my friend the whip and the lashes. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that left his blood down in the bottom of the high priest's hall, through my friend the corridors of Pilate's hall. He's the one that they took and led away to old Golgotha's hill. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one who was led before the slaughters of sheep, before his shears is done. He opened not his mouth. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that stretched out his hands, and like an innocent lamb that had never done anybody any wrong, holy and righteous, received the nails into his right hand and into his left hand. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that was hoisted between heaven and earth, and all of his bones were pulled out of joint as the cross hit the ground with a mighty thud. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that cried, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Who art thou, Lord? As the darkness came, he's the one who cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who art thou, Lord? As the holy wrath of God descended upon him, he took my hell and your hell and said, I thirst. He experienced the eternal retribution and wrath of God upon his body hanging between heaven and earth. Who art thou, Lord? After 6 hours of groaning on Golgotha, he's the one that said, it is finished. And Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost, bowed his head. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that old Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus the Pharisee of John chapter 3, crawled up the old cross and took his limp body down, wrapped him in linen and spices. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one they laid in the grave, rolled the mighty stone before the door. The soldiers came, made sure he was there, sealed the door, and said, nobody's coming out and nobody's going in. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one old Simon Peter and the disciples thought about for 2 days after he had died. Had they been forsaken? Had they been betrayed? Was Jesus Christ a liar? Had he failed to become the king like he said he would be? Did he die in shame and agony? Is this the end? Who art thou, Lord? As the women went down early, as my friend Sunday morning began to dawn, she began to look and found the stone rolled away and the keepers quivering and quaking in their tracks. She cried out, where's my Lord? Ran back and told the disciples, he's not here. Something's happened to Jesus. Something strange is going on. Who art thou, Lord? When old Simon Peter came in and looked inside the tomb and he began to push my friend around on the napkin that had bound him up and said, he's not here. Something's happened. They felt somebody had stole his body away. But who art thou, Lord? Oh, Mary wasn't satisfied, so she hung around the tomb a little longer. She poked her head inside the tomb and saw two angels sitting there and said, sirs, where have you laid him? They said, he's not here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He has risen, just like he said. Who art thou, Lord? Well, old Mary turned around, weeping her eyeballs out. She supposed him to be the gardener. And she said, sir, if you've borne him away, tell me where he is. And Jesus said, Mary. And when he said, Mary, she knew who he was. And she said, Rabboni, my Lord and my Master. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that ascended to the right hand of the Father, sprinkled his precious blood upon the mercy seat, brought the redeemed to God out of the paradise, entered into the right hand of the Father. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that came back for 40 days and 40 nights, showed himself alive after many infallible proofs, showed himself the 500 brethren gathered at one place at one time, and gave a multiplication of times of his appearance after his resurrection. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that stood on the side of Galilee's hillside and said to the 11 disciples, "Boys, I'm going away, but I'm a coming back." But he said, "I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go ye therefore into all the world and preach this gospel and tell this world who I am." Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that took that white cloud and robed himself in it and rode it out of here like a chariot. For our God rides the cloud like a man would ride a chariot. And as he went back to the right hand of the Father stood up and said, "Son, this is your throne. You've earned this throne. You deserve this throne. Sit down on this throne." And as he sat down on that throne, God the Father crowned him with glory, and he crowned him with honor. And Jesus is sitting there right now as a complete, 100% perfect Son of the living God. Glory to his holy name. He's the one that said, "Boys, I'm going to send your receipt back now that you go to Jerusalem and tarry, and I'll send you the receipt." Praise God, 50 days after his crucifixion, on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and tongues of fire set down upon the disciples, and the church was baptized into a one body unison. And my friend, they were filled with the Spirit of God, and they got up from there, and Simon Peter stood up and preached this same Jesus whom ye have crucified. God has made him both Lord and King, and it's him that you need to receive as your Savior. Amen. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that every once in a while reach down these old mountain hollers, deal with some old sinner, some old ungodly sinner, deserve nothing but hell. Take an old Holy Ghost preacher to take the sledgehammer of the gospel and begin to tap on that old hardened heart. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one still drawing folk to himself, washing them in the blood of Jesus, saving them by the grace of God, redeeming them by the mercies of God. Glory to tell everybody else who this Lord is. Amen. He's my kinsman redeemer. He's all and all that I ever need. Glory to his name. Who art thou, Lord? John seated at the right hand of the Father that ever lives to make intercession for them that come to God by him. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that turned the throne of law into a throne of grace, that I can come to seek help in the time of need. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that said, go and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. And I'll be with you, sir. You go preach it. You go tell them, and I'll be there to prove my presence to them. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that, like old Isaac's going to be meditating in the eventide one day. The father's going to say, son, it's been 2,000 years. It's time to go get your bride. Who art thou, Lord? He's going to step out on that same cloud that's been idling its motor, just waiting for him to get back on. He's going to say, all right, Gabriel, it's time to blow your trumpet. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one, praise God, is going to blow his trump one of these days. And all of his people from the north, the south, the east, and the west, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together in a moment, the twinkle of an eye. And my friend, we're going to be changed, and we're going to be like him forever, for we shall see him as he is. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that's going to put us through the judgment seat. He's going to try us with those flaming, fiery eyes. And he's going to search us out. And we're going to find out how much Lord he really was in our lives. If we've minded him, done what we ought to do, we'll receive reward. If we've disobeyed him and lollygagged around the edges and halted between two opinions, we're going to suffer loss in that hour. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that's not going to show any partiality. He's going to judge in truth and in righteousness among his people. My friend, nobody's going to cover up. Nobody's going to bow off the judge. Nobody's going to pay off the judge. He's going to search us out. And my friend, we'll stand where we are. Amen. Who art thou, Lord? After the judgment seat's all over, he's going to take a towel, gird himself, and he's going to pull out manna like we've never eaten before. He's going to set us down at a reserved banquet table that'll stretch from the north to the south, from the east to the west. And God's people are going to come and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we're going to have a supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. But who art thou, Lord? He's going to say, boys, it's time. And he's going to give the angels command. And they're going to back the royal stock out of the stables of the sky. Uh-huh. Praise God, we're going to saddle up. And Jude said, behold, I saw him coming with 10,000s of his saints. Praise God, Revelation said after that great tribulation, he's going to ride in chapter 19 on a great white horse. His eyes are as a flame of fire. On his head's many crowns. On his vesture's written the word of God. My friend, he's going to come down to the valley of Megiddo. All the armies of the earth are going to be gathered together. They're going to turn their ballistic missiles and their anti-aircraft gun on him, because he's going to be picked up on the radar with an unbelievable speed like they've never seen before. And about the time all the armies of the earth turn, my friend, their barrels toward him, Jesus is going to burst the eastern sky. And my friend, he's going to put the devil in his place. He's going to stalk the devil till blood runs to the horse's bridle. Then he's going to march over to that little captive remnant of Jews. He's going to open their eyes. A nation's going to be born in a day. Thank God, Mount of Olives is going to cleave asunder. The riches of the earth are going to be discovered. He's going to lift up the throne of David out from under the rubble of this earth. And my friend, he's going to sit down and rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 solid years. But before he sits down, he's going to grab a
devil by slimy goose and pop him into the bottomless pit, and he's going to keep him there for 1,000 solid years. Oh, Satan and all of his imps are going to have to abide in the pit for 1,000 solid years. He's the one that's going to say, curse be removed. And the lamb's going to lay down by the line. And the child's going to play on the hole of the nest. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one that's going to reverse the curse. And the blessings of God are going to flow on this earth again. Who art thou, Lord? He's the one at the end of 1,000 years. The devil's going to be released for a season just to show how rotten and depraved man really is. A group from out of Russia's going to attack the throne, and they'll be put in their place. And then the white throne judgment will appear. And my friend Satan and all that follow him are going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. But who art thou, Lord? He's the one that prepared a city as a bride adorned for her husband, for the children of God, my friend, for the redeemed throughout all the ages. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and never will there be a possibility of anybody or anything ever defiling that city or working abomination or making a lie, and into eternity we'll go. About after 1,000,000 years of worshiping him, I'll hear somebody say, who art thou, Lord? Jesus will say, here's another aspect you've never seen. Hallelujah. Woo! Throughout the ceaseless ages as eternity rolls on, he'll be unveiling the glories of his person, and God's young ones will be satisfied, for they'll dwell in his presence, and there'll be fullness of joy at his right hand forevermore. Who art thou, Lord? That's my God. That's my Redeemer. That's my King. Glory to his name. You say, I didn't know all that. Well, I didn't either, and I first got saved. Amen. I'm trying, and I still don't know it all. I haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg. There's more that we're not seeing than we're seeing, friend. A question of revelation. Do you want to know who he is? Huh? If you do, right there's a book. And that book will tell you just about everything I've said tonight and then some. Amen. But then secondly, there's a question of response. He said, all right. Since you are the I Am, you are the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, you are Jesus, the Savior, the Lord. And here's the second question I apply to your Lordship. Lord, what will thou have me to do? If he's a Lord, like I've just described, then he is every bit of it and then some. Then is he not worthy of us asking him the second question? Lord, what will thou have me to do? There's a field out there. It's white and ready unto harvest. I just got back 21 days in Washington State, British Columbia, Oregon, the Pacific Northwest. And I went to town after town after town after town after town that did not have a fundamental Bible preaching church, period. Why, preacher? Somebody is not asking the question, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Lord, I know you've got Pastor Ray here at the Baptist Tabernacle. Lord, I know you've got Brother Barton down at Anchor. Lord, I know you've got Brother Presnell down at Turkey Creek. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to be? Lord, I sign my name at the bottom of the page. It's blank, no ifs, ands, nors, ors, or buts. Here's my name. You fill the contract in. Whatever you want, here it is. You say, preacher, I'm scared to death to do that. Listen, if you believe he's Lord, like he is, you don't have one thing to be afraid of. Last thing I ever dreamed God would make me be is an evangelist preacher looking at strange faces every night. I'm a mountain boy. If I was where I had naturally intended to be, I'd be in a log cabin in a holler somewhere by myself, my wife, and my little kids. And that's where I'd be, and that's where I'd stay. But there came a day in this old boy's life when God saved me. And on a Wednesday night, I said, God, drown, sink, or swim, come hell or high water, if it's Alaska, if it's Africa, if it's preaching the Pygmies, if it's preaching in igloos, the Eskimos, Lord, whatever you want, here am I, drown, sink, or swim. I'm yours. You send me where you want me to go, and I'll go. You say it by your grace, God, I'll try to do it. The Lord called me to preach, and then he put me into evangelism. I'm satisfied as I can be.